In today's Mishnah, we're in the 7th and 8th Mishnah, from the 8th Perek of Masechet Bava Batra. The Mishnah begins, HaKotev Nechasav V'Lefanav. If someone's writing off all his entire property to his children, he's gifting it to them. And the example Kati brings is if his children from the first marriage, he's about to get remarried, he's concerned that within the second marriage something might happen to all his property, and therefore what he does is he gifts it to them now. However, he wants to keep using the property, so what should he do? So Mishnah says, Tzarich Sheikhtov, what he must do, is he writes, Mayom Olachar Mita, that I'm giving this to my children from now and after death. What this means is he's saying that the Gufa Karka, the land, already belongs to his children. However, the Peirot, the fruit, that which the land produces, still belongs to the father, will only be given to them after he passes away. What's the advantage of doing this? Well, the reason why he has to say Mahayom from now is because if he doesn't, then we say that there's no gift, Ein Matana Lachar Mita. Meaning, as soon as he passes away, he has no right to give property away. And it will just follow under the normal processes of Yerusha, and there might be other debts that will, say, precede it. So therefore, he has to say already Mehayom from now. And since he's retaining the Peirot, if you like, that which the land produces, he would be able to continue using the property as he has been. That's opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi says, Einu tzarich, he doesn't have to write the words Mehayom from now, unlike we saw the Tanakhama who says that from now, and Lachar Mita, it's sufficient just to say Lachar Mita. Why? Because the shtar itself is dated. And the date itself is Mochiach, proves the fact that he's saying that it's really from that point onwards, the Gufa Karka, the actual land itself, is being given to the children. Mishnah continues, HaKodev Nechasav Levanav Lachar Moto. So once we've had this particular arrangement where the father has said, I'm giving this property to my children now and after my death, we said, Ha'aveinu Cholim Kor, the father can no longer sell it. What it meant by sell, he cannot sell it completely. Why? Because he doesn't own the Gufa Karka anymore. Mimnesha Ketuvim Laben, because it's given over the children. Habenu Eniachol, the son can't sell it immediately. Why? Because he doesn't have full ownership either. Mimnesha Hen Berushot Av, because the father still retains the right to enjoy the payrot. So what would happen if, however, each of them did sell their, whatever, chelek, if you like, in this property? Im Machara Av, the father sold it. Mechurim, yes, the right to enjoy payrot would be sold. However, ad shiyamot, until the father passes away, and then the property would be given to the children. If the son sold it, machar ben ein lokeach behem, the purchaser has no right to actually enter the property, use the property, ad shiyamot to av, until the father passed away. Why? Because the father never gave over the children the rights to the peirot, and the father retains the rights to the peirot of the land. Ha'av tolesh, so in such an arrangement, the father can keep picking fruit from the land, enjoying anything the land produces, or machar lechol mishi yirtzeh, and give it to whoever he likes. However, mashinyach patalush, say the father passes away and he's already done a harvest. Mishnah says, Harehem Sheliorshim. It would be given to the heirs, the general heirs, and not just to the son to who the land was gifted to. However, any peirot that are finished, that are still connected to the land, they would be given to the beneficiary of that original gift, if you like. What's interesting here is that Kati cites, I think it's the Gemara, that explains that this is only referring to the case where the beneficiary of this gift was the children, because we say, Datosh lam krova etzel beno, meaning a father has a certain level of extra affection towards his son. However, if it was given to some other beneficiary, somebody else, then we say that the peirot that's still attached to the land would be part of the regular Yerusha, and it's only the land when this father passed away, and it's only the rest of the land that would be given to the beneficiary of this gift. So, haniach banim gdolim k'tanim, if someone left both adult children and young children, we say that ein hagdolim min parnasim ala k'tanim v'lo k'tanim nizunim ala gdolim, meaning neither of the children, either adult ones or the young children, can benefit at the expense of the other parties. For example, the gdolim can't simply take from the estate new clothes and fancy things at the expense of the ketanim, on the account of the ketanim, and the ketanim can't be supported. For example, mezonot, which you'd think they have a right to, on the account of the gdolim. Ella, what do? They simply divide the estate. Mishnah then continues, Nasu gdolim, if after the father passed away, before they divided the estate, the gdolim, the older children, got married, and it was on the account of the estate, then you saw ketanim, then the younger children, as they grow up, would also have the right to take out the expense of the wedding from this estate. However, the imam ruha ketanim, hari anu nusim kederech shenasatem atem, if, however, the gdolim, the adult children, got married during the lifetime of the father already, and the father perhaps spent a significant amount on the wedding. Now the children, as they're growing up, they say, well, we want to draw down from the state expenses for our wedding as well, to the same amount that you took from your wedding. We say, Ein shel min lahen. We don't listen to them. Elamashan tan l'avihim natan, meaning anything the father spent on these adult children for their wedding is not taken into consideration whatsoever when you're talking about the division of the state. It was a gift during the lifetime of the father, and therefore the younger children have no right to say, well, we want to get married at the expense of the state. They cannot do that. It would simply have come out from their share, from their state. Let's now look at Mishnah Chet. Mishnah says, Haniach banot gedolim uktanot. Similarly, if we have the father passes away and he leaves older and younger daughters, Mishnah follows a very similar pattern to what we just learnt. Einagdon penasod alaktanot v'aluaktanot nizonot alagdolot. The adult children cannot finance their clothing and the like from the state at the expense of the ktanot, the young ones. V'aluaktanot nizonot alagdolot. And the younger children would not be nizonot, would not be supported at the expense of the adult children. Ella cholkot b'shaveh, rather they simply split the estate evenly. Nasu gedolot, if the older daughters got married prior to the division of the estate, like we've explained, yisu ktanot, then the ktanot have a valid claim to say we should fund our marriage from the estate just like you did. However, v'im amru haktanot, if the ktanot say, hari anu nosod, we want to get married in the same kederek shenasat ten aten, the same way the father married you in his lifetime. Just like we said in the previous Mishnah, Ein shel min lahen, we do not listen to them, because, again, just like we said about the children, anything the father spent on the daughters during the lifetime, for example, or the case in this Mishnah is the marriages, is not taken into account at all. And we don't say that because he spent some money on your wedding, therefore these younger daughters can draw down from their estate to fund their weddings. It does not work that way. Mishnah finally closes now by saying, Zeh chomer bin banot bin banim. We find the situation where there's just daughters, it seems to be more severe than if there were daughters and sons. Why? Shah banot nizanot ala banim, veinizanot ala banot. Because we've said previously that the daughters are supported from the estate, and that's part of the Tanai Ketubah, until they actually bagru, until they get become of age, or until they get engaged, or betrothed, I should say. However, as we've just learned in this Mishnah, if there's just daughters, we say that no, the daughters aren't supported at the expense of other daughters, the state is simply divided evenly. Those are the Mishnah today.